Okay, then, why don't we officially call the meeting, first meeting of the Minnesota Electronic Real Estate Recording Commission to order then, please. Thank you all for coming, and thank you all for your hard work and making it easy to get us all together. First order on the business is of the approval of the agenda, which we should have copies all available, so look for a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Any seconds?
Second.
Thank you. And all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. So we have the agenda to move forward. Let's start then with introductions, and I think a lot of us are all too familiar with the issue and each other, so I thank you all for coming back. But welcome. Very happy to see some familiar, many familiar faces. And some new faces. So just to start, my name is Bob Horton, and I am the state archivist and director of the library at the Minnesota Historical Society, and by statute, just the convener of today's meeting. And then I revert to becoming an ordinary member. So welcome again, and Jeff, would you?
I'm Jeff Carlson, president of U.S. Recordings. I was part of the original group back in 99, and then other parts of the groups after that, and probably took about a year and a half hiatus here from a lot of the e-recording efforts, and back. And glad and happy to be back.
Thank you. Happy to have you back.
And U.S.
and
U.S. Recordings, I'll get our plug in now. I think we do file an e-record in 27 Minnesota counties right now. We're well versed in what's happening here. Bam, anyways.
Michael?
And I should add one more thing, that Jeff has probably donated more time from his organization to some of the efforts in this this thing, and I just very much appreciate that, Jeff.
Thank you.
Over the years. You did steal away a very good person by the name of Pam Trumbull. All of us used to be able to use in other ways, but that was a smart move on your part.
So. As noticed, I wouldn't even let her in the room today.
I'm Mike Kniff, and I'm the Hennepin County Recorder and Registrar of Titles. And as Jeff, I was, I guess, one of those that got invited to that first meeting back a few years ago, and have been very excited to see the day that we'd get to a permanent commission with permanent legislation so that we aren't sitting on pins and needles with pilots forevermore. And we're excited about having the chance to see this move forward. So,
thank you.
I'm Terry Bulver, and I am with U.S. Bank Home Mortgage, representing the Bankers Association. I was on the second generation task force. Was not at the very beginning, just the second generation task force, but also excited to see this move forward and very happy to be here.
Thank you.
I'm Eileen Roberts. I teach at William Mitchell, and I represent the real property lawyers section for the state bar, and I've been part of this since the first meeting.
Ryan Tengen of Becker County Auditor Treasurer. First or second generation, so I must be on the third generation of this committee. As far
as kid on the block.
That's yeah. Right, and the new kid on the block, or new blood in the water, I think is my. No, it's exciting times.
The sharks aren't here anymore.
It's exciting times moving forward, the different phases of this. The treasurer's aspects of it, how it all ties into the electronic payments and statewide consistency in accountants for not only this aspect of electronic payments, but for all of this as well.
Thank you.
I'm Sally Kidd with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and I will be assisting in providing staff to the commission.
And I'm Diane Henry-Wangenstein with the Legislative Coordinating Commission and supporting their efforts as well. We're really pleased to be a part of this effort. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And again, thank you for the help in putting it all together.
Oh, you're most welcome.
Now over to...
I'm Bill Morey at Triman Systems, and I was part of the first generation, and then the second generation became part of the peanut gallery, and here I am again. And our company provides software for the county recorder's offices and have been involved in electronic recording since I think we were the fifth and sixth or sixth and seventh county in the United States had our software to do electronic recording over in the pleasure to be here and see things move forward with this illustrious panel.
Thank you.
And I'd like to add, too, that I think it's very appropriate because Bill has been a very big supporter of this effort in Minnesota and even nationally gotten very active and very involved. And I think without people like Bill and his organization, we wouldn't be where we were today, too. So thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
I'm Larry Delane with Anoka County, and I've been showing up at these things for 9 years. I think I was at the first organizational meeting that we had with Senator Kelly, which seems like almost a lifetime ago now. And, so I decided to continue to show up. And I think I'm very interested in seeing where this all leads to, and want to continue to assist in any way that I can. So good luck to you and your mission, and hopefully we'll accomplish great things.
Okay.
I'm Kay Rookie. I'm the Martin County Recorder. I'm also on some subcommittee for this recorders. And I'm also on the board of PREA, and hope that we can get some good reflections from Minnesota to PREA and vice versa.
I'm Jennifer Gibbous. I'm in Washington County Public Records, and is part of that and part of the Mako.
I'm Chris Pasilisi, the Carlton County Recorder, and president of MCRA this year. And I'm really excited because we do electronically record, and we want to see how this will progress, our process and progress along the way, and hope to see some really good things from the commission in the future.
Great. Thank you so much.
The thing I didn't mention earlier, if people don't know, I'm representing the Minnesota Land Title Association.
Thank you. And we all made a few jokes about 9 years and no time off for good behavior, but it is important to note that the commission and its predecessors have done some extraordinary work, and I think led the country in a lot of ways in developing standards and getting a practical implementation of recording in a variety of formats. So I think we all really deserve a pat on the back for being a little too self-deprecating, considering all the work and all the things that we've achieved over the years. I hope this is just as successful as our predecessors. So here's my favorite part of the agenda, which is the election of the chair and vice chair. I guess it's to introduce the responsibilities. I think we can assure everyone of the incredible support from the LCC and reassure people that a lot of the details about arranging and managing the meetings are going to be handled more than capably by our two friends here, and that the statute and what we will establish or confirm with the bylaws pretty much set some reasonable boundaries around what the commission can do and what's on our agenda. So it's a long way of saying I think it's not an onerous burden to be the chair and vice chair, and I hope just among the five of you that we have some volunteers or nominations that help us move forward. One point that Jeff and I think Jeff and Terry and I discussed for a few seconds beforehand, that it would be, I think, a good precedent to follow to have someone from the counties involved as chair or vice chair, given the responsibilities and engagement that fall onto the counties. That would be a good idea. No one that leaves to the two present, or we could acclaim Janine by something to consider. But I do think as we move forward, that's an important consideration to keep in mind. So I opened it up to discussion. Any volunteers, nominations? Any ideas? Qualities that we might look for?
Are you looking at becoming president or vice president? I'll narrow it down.
Well, if you wanted someone from the county, I'm certainly willing to do it. But I also think it would be good to have someone in one of those roles coming from the private sector as well, because I think that partnership has proven to be very effective.
All right. If you be chair, I'll be vice chair.
I'll second that.
I think that's a motion.
Second? Okay, we've got a motion and a second. That would be Mike as chair.
I haven't been offered like that for a long time. And I apologize, Mike. I don't need to coordinate. From just that standpoint, I think it is very important for the counties, but I'm president of the Association of Auditor Treasurers this year, and I'm in line to become president of MECO next year.
Motion seconded. All in favor? Or I should say, is there any further discussion of this? Any other nominations or volunteers?
No.
Then let's say all in favor, please signify by
aye.
Moved unanimously, or approved unanimously. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
So I guess I'm not sure the exact protocol. Can I step aside, or do you want me to just run through the agenda? You guys can take it.
The chair is going to ask the convener to run through the agenda today, seeing as how I think you're more familiar with the rest of the stuff than
that,
I am.
That's fine. Thank you. I'm happy to do that. We did have an opportunity to discuss the issues, so we should be able to do that. Thank you very much. And make sure we have a special note of appreciation for not only their willingness to serve, but how quickly we managed to get this done. So thank you. We have a couple of things that I think we can broach today, but perhaps not resolve, simply because it probably will involve a certain amount of discussion and review before we can come to decision. That would be 5, 6, and 7. And 5 on the agenda is discussion of adoption of commission rules. We have in your packet the bylaws from the task force, which obviously have some cosmetic changes and revisions that would need to take place if we're interested in adopting these. And I don't think we need to necessarily go into those. Some other things that flow out, if name, membership, for example, would have to be addressed. Meetings, we'd have to double check. Some of the procedural issues, though, seem fairly straightforward. Some of the articles, perhaps discussion of pilot counties and et cetera, may take take some time for us to determine how we really want to rephrase that. So I would like to suggest that, you know, if we have any ideas that come to mind immediately, then perhaps we can. Oops. Hi, Jeannie. Sorry, we got started. Please. You will be happy to know that in your absence, we did not pull any fast ones.
Good. It's like there's enough people to protect me.
What
I'm
like,
sorry.
I'd like to introduce you to the new chair and vice chair, Mike and Terry.
All right.
So I'm just running through today's agenda.
I'm glad I was late.
It was that close that we could be introducing you as.
No, I don't think so.
You'll pay.
But if it's all right with you, what I would suggest is if you have any suggestions to come right off the top of your head. Otherwise, I'd suggest take a look at this and perhaps email. Sally and Diane and me, and we can make some changes and have those ready for the next meeting that just address the obvious ones and obvious concerns and any other concerns you might raise. But rather than kind of walk through it word by word and copy edit right now, we can get a new draft out to you to address any of the issues you identify in the next month. Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Anything you would particularly like us to take into account?
Well, and you talked about completely kind of wiping out the whole pilot counties.
Yeah, because I think I don't.
Because that's. Yep, so there's no.
Yep.
So I guess the process then would be if we'll take a look at the statute, we'll take a look at obviously all the terminology, we'll make a revision of this, get it out to you before the next meeting, and we can go over it then for any kind of final review and approval, if that sounds okay. Okay. All right. That's good. We have as item 6, review of the final report and recommendations of the task force. That's also in your packet. I think many of us are already familiar with this. And if you're comfortable with the idea of just leaping ahead to page 16 then and just taking a look at the recommendations, perhaps we could just go over those, make sure we understand them, and see if we want to identify anything that would feed into number 7, which would be the draft of our initial work plan. So the first one is a fairly straightforward and certainly a welcome recommendation, is to continue interactions with the county auditor, treasurers, and recorders. And I believe that the presence of some of our participants already witnesses that you all are willing to continue to work with us, so that would be good. Basically that's an opportunity for us to talk about how we want to move that forward in future meetings. But right now, I think it's fairly straightforward.
Bob, I might just add right now already that Chris Vasilis, our president of the Recorders Association, did appoint a recorders committee to try and serve in that role already.
Okay.
And I'm chairing that, and many of the members that you see sitting on the wall are the members of that committee. Larry and Kay and Chris and Gail Miller is another one that has been around a long time that has been involved that couldn't be here today.
Okay.
But she's a member of that group as well, and we've already had at least a convening meeting to begin doing a little brainstorming about issues such as how are we going to raise money for this sort of thing, and how do we deal with the issue of bringing things forward to the commission to, you know, act on that can come from both private and other areas as well. So there's been at least a meeting to discuss that, at least initially. So we have implemented something that kind of coincides with what Janine and I knew were some of the recommendations of that group in the first place. And Janine is also a member of that group as well. So.
Well, it would be useful. I think certainly much appreciated if you would look as well as the recommendations, and so perhaps at the next meeting, or some meeting soon, we could compare notes about what should go into the work plan, what's more feasible, what has priorities.
I was just going to say, and one of the top priorities that we had discussed was to, first of all, invite Ryan to participate with us and kind of give him an overview of what the history has been on this, so that he kind of feels that he's up to speed and knows as much as we know, and so that he can offer and participate from the auditor-treasurer standpoint, because as we get the ability now to do electronic recording beyond documents that just go through the recorder's office, it's going to be even more critical, the involvement of the auditor-treasurers in the whole process. So that was our other action that we thought was critical in moving it forward on our part, but just as an informational item, so.
And I think as informational as well is that we really did think that all interested parties should have that same type of work group from their industries or their groups that would bring ideas forward to this commission as to what they would need to see done.
Right.
You know, okay. That's just a step we took, and we would hope that the auditor, treasurers would, and the bar would, and all of those would also have a committee that had issues to be dealt with here.
Okay. And we have representatives of the major constituencies, so
right.
We have mm-hmm. the opportunity to pass along that invitation to participate in the same way as we're hoping to partner with the county auditor, treasurers, and recorders. One question, I guess, comes to mind. Is it this something we might want to ask for suggestions or a review of the recommendations on a formal basis to all these groups, or I mean, move forward on our own and then rely on the various representatives on the board and participants watching alongside to go back on their own, or any particular formal process you have in mind? Invite people to show up to talk about what they might want to do. Might recommend, or do we?
I would think that the process of the workload would cause that to happen.
Okay.
That each of them would have their own interests that they would like to see taken care of. They enter, and then, I mean, it's always been an open. It is an open meeting. People can bring what they want, but you would think that their way of doing business or their process of doing business would bring some things to light that they would need this commission to look at.
Okay.
And I guess, I don't know what the rest of you think.
That's fine. If we're comfortable with it, it'd be good. I think it's very reasonable. Okay. Second is pursue necessary funding. And just a question to Diane and Sally, is the LCC is formally a steward of any kind of money that if we raise money, how would that
work? Oh, yeah, we can accept gifts.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a mechanism in place.
Uh-huh. Okay. And we can facilitate that as a fiscal service office. So.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So it's conceivable. I think it would probably be more feasible once we have particular goals that we want to achieve. We can then go out and see who's interested in supporting them. So perhaps knowing that it's possible and knowing that we'd like to do it is as far as we need to go right now.
I have one question about that. When I looked up, I'm not sure which link it was, there was a number of pledges made by different organizations, but it didn't look like all the pledges had been fulfilled. Do you know if that's still the current status?
I'm sorry, I don't know of any pledges. You guys know?
Pledges like?
From MLTA, Marissa, Land America, I think, pledged some money. And
I think that had to do with the electronic certificate of real estate value.
Adoption by the
Department of Revenue.
Okay.
A collaborative effort between county, state, and industry. I think that was where they had pledged funds.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't to this.
It didn't come directly to this group. No.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
I think you're right.
I think you're probably right. Otherwise, if we'd had funds, we'd have spent them.
Okay. Number three, select an expert technology specialist. And this would be, as I believe, a non-voting member of the commission. Yes. So I don't think there's anything that bars us from asking people on an informal or ad hoc basis, but this would be selection of somebody on a more or less permanent basis to take part. And again, these are only recommendations. Again, perhaps we could think about it and
but the reality is how many truly people are qualified to do that type of thing?
It's a lot of different technologies, conceivably.
Well, yeah. And then is that something we do as the project comes up? I mean, if we have, it's kind of hard to do that till you know what project it is you want to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think there's nothing that stops us from asking people for particular advice at particular times.
Right.
But this is actually in the statute, so that would be someone who I suppose has a general or comprehensive knowledge, or at least has a capacity to reach out to people with more specific knowledge.
When we were drafting that, we were thinking about, you were probably part of that, thinking about appointing somebody to essentially serve at the pleasure of the group, sort of, because the nature of the tasks might change.
Okay.
So, and I don't know if somebody like Ben Marchuk, for example, is someone that could do a lot of things, assuming he's available, or depending on what we do, if at some point we'd want to either invite him or replace him with somebody whose skills are more germane to what we need. But I think that's the way we had sort of conceived that position.
Okay.
I think it's kind of like we perceive the commission to be something that, well, at least when we started, mm-hmm. we kind of perceived the commission to be a body of people who oversaw things that were brought to them, and we kind of determined that a lot of us didn't have the technical knowledge. If someone brought this request or brought this idea to us, we did not have the technical knowledge to say, yes, that would work, no, that wouldn't work. We can approve that, we can't approve that. And so when we kind of put that in the statute, it was kind of like, so we can go out and get the technical advice we needed for whatever it was that that we were going to do. So
okay. Well, with that in mind, then, we would just say, as occasion arises, we would look for somebody who could fit the bill.
And if today we're going to identify some initial tasks, we may well be able to talk about who it is that should get the initial appointment, because as Jeff says, there's a very limited range of people who know this stuff.
And we do want some consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would think that their technology people are a lot like the rest of us. They have their own thinking pattern, which they go through things, and about the time you switch over, then you got to go back up and make different. They all have their way to get to the end,
right.
You know, as opposed to having, you know, one for each different program. I think we do want some consistency, or a couple that we work with, not bringing in.
Yeah, just anybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, on that basis, then maybe if we have now we have a better understanding of what role the person or persons might play. Perhaps as Eileen suggested, is if we identify something specific we want to start with, that would help us choose where to start with a specialist. Four and five are monitoring, which I believe in the past is taken, it's mostly, well, it at least to a certain extent has been just statistical, right? A reporting function and then someone to correlate and graph. Sorry to look at you guys. but is that your understanding? Is that how we mean at least one component of this? Just see how many counties and how many certificates or how many submissions?
Yeah, I think what it really related to was the fact that both Revenue and the Department of Health were developing those systems for those mm-hmm. document types. And those aren't documents that actually get recorded in the public land records, but they are documents that must accompany documents that do get recorded. Mm-hmm. So they're critical in the sense that we can't record a package without them, but they're not in the public in the public land records. But it's important for us to know that they're there and how the system is going to work and how that electronic apparatus will work with what we're requiring as standards for documents that do get recorded. So that's what we thought was important for the monitor, and that integration piece between whatever standards we have here and however Revenue and Health are dealing with their electronic submission of their documents. And I think that's gone fairly well in the past, and I think those relationships need to continue, and I think it's pretty clear. Ryan, your group, I know, has been working with them. And Dakota County has been piloting what the Department of Revenue is doing with electronic certificates of real estate value, and the well disclosure things are still shortly on the horizon.
So I would say that we can ask you all to serve sort of as canaries in the mine. So let us know if something's going well, and if something's not going well, and we can call on Revenue and Health as necessary. Does that seem well? Just a few more.
Yep.
Continue monitoring of Model 2 electronic recording. Is there any particular responsibility we should take on? Or just simply similar to number 5, see how the process is going and react?
I would just throw out one item that I think will need to be addressed probably here as we move forward. When we moved ahead with the Model 2 electronic recording, there was a thought at some point in the future there would be a group that would go back and would identify the elements that would mandatorily need to be submitted in electronic format, most of those of which would be elements that go into the indexes and the recording systems throughout the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't specifically identify any of those back at that point in time, but I think that's one item that we don't need to deal with today, but I think on a task list will need to be done, and I think probably a group of recorders can go back and come up with what are the elements that the statute requires, A, and what elements are people putting in their current systems and probably involve Fiddler and Tryman and the other vendors that are around the state to make sure that we haven't missed any that should be on that list so that that could be part of that standard so that we have those elements that do need to get in electronically into our indexes as part of the requirement for Model 2.
Okay. But that sounds good. All right. We'll follow that path. Number 6, continued development of standards for mortgage security instruments and deeds. And if I interpret this correctly, this is a recommendation for us really to take the lead, not simply inherit something, but move forward with it. So, take it under advisement. 7. Continue with the testing model for validation of any new recording system. Hennepin County is fingered as already working on this. So, Mike, we can expect reports from you. I'm sorry.
Yep.
Right. Future commission will need to examine how validation of systems will occur in the future. So I think is also something that we need perhaps to study up on. And I should say, if you're not familiar with the report as a whole, there are a variety there's a variety of information that sort of glosses these and adds some more detail. So there's more information to be found in the report. 9, determine ongoing procedures for validation and revalidation. So something to study up on. We will have some formal responsibilities by statute, which will be critical, I guess, just to keep the process moving as other submitters are involved and as other technologies develop.
How is 9 different than 7, or what are we doing differently? Just to, Mike, I mean, what was the thought?
Well, I think 7, 8, and 9 probably are all related them there.
Okay.
And I think it really relates to, A, how are you going to deal with things for the future? How often do systems need to be validated or revalidated?
Mm-hmm.
Is it every time you come out with a new version, in other words, a new set of standards, or standards get modified? Or is it just a piece that needs to be validated? And those are questions that I don't think we had answers to, but they were things that we, I think, put in the report for at least a new commission to consider in terms of how they want to handle those things for the future.
But then into the future, Hennepin would be the central place for this validation, right?
No. The reason Hennepin is mentioned here is because we got some funding last year that I said that we would use for validating outside vendors' indexing systems, so that their systems would at least be meeting the same standards like the Tryman one, the Fiddler one, the Hennepin County standalone, the Dakota County standalone system had been validated by the original task force to be able to accept electronic recording. There were other vendor systems that wanted to be in the marketplace to compete with those, and they wanted to be able to have their system certified, so it was that type of certification.
So you were looking at just creating the validation process, not being the validation process.
Well, that was part of what I think for the future needs to be discussed.
And then we need to address how or who is going to do that
right.
validation.
Should that be
the commission? Should we contract with somebody, some organization? Those are questions that I think the commission needs to deal with and address.
And because, excuse me if I'm asking too many questions, because it's been too much of a lapse of time.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is once the county system was validated through whatever means, then once they took on a trusted submitter, it was their own responsibility to make sure. I mean, if it's a system that's validated, there's only one way to send to them then, right? So that they're handling their own validation with their own trusted submitters.
Okay.
So there's no second level. If you want to submit to Lyon County, you're kind of validating with Lyon County as your trusted submitter.
Right.
And Janine says, yep, it's working because I know it's working because I've already validated the system with Mike and now we're all the same.
Yep.
Essentially, is that, or did I confuse things?
No, okay. You got it.
No, that's
okay.
Right. Once all the right. system is validated, then they can function.
You can submit
in every
it to
county.
Any county that uses that system.
Right. And then the next question is, how do we examine how often those systems need to be validated? Mm-hmm. If you don't ever change your product, it's validated. But if you do change your product, does that need to be revalidated? So that we don't run into the part that yours no longer works with mine.
Right.
If I put in a new product or upgraded product, you still need to be able to work with me.
So, I'll drag Bill into this a second. Again, if I'm dragging this out and making things go along here.
This is why we wanted to go through it all.
So, Bill, essentially, if from your understanding, then if you're going to upgrade your system, would you have to really align your timing with things that happened here then, do you think?
Well, I think that's what the question is.
That's the question, the discussion that needs to take place.
I don't think that was a decision. I think that was an identified issue to be discussed and decided by the commission. How that process ought to work and should it, some rules and ideas around that. I think that's why it's a recommendation or consideration by this.
So say today, I'm not saying we should do this today, but say the process today would be, okay, if Bill wants to do a new system, Bill would need to validate the system with Mike. If he's the central authority, that works, and then say Bill's providing for Janine, then he can go ahead and upgrade. Or the other option is saying Bill can't upgrade or change his system until kind of the commission says, well, we're... That's what needs to be done is you change when we change or when we say it's okay to change. Is that kind of the question here?
The options?
I guess my thinking on it was that they would bring an upgrade to the commission. The commission then would probably use that technology person to say, is this still going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Is this still going to be able to be functional in the systems that the counties have out there?
Okay.
You know, so that we can still do e-recording in all counties.
I think the topic is going to bear some,
yes,
some discussion.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
When should it happen? And I don't think those of us here today would be in a position to say that we know the answer to that question.
All right. All right.
But I do think it's part of that commission's group to come up with a plan.
Okay. It sounds, just from the conversation, it sounds as if something that is of real value.
Because if we're trying to, again, I won't take this way too far off, we're trying to emulate somewhat what the Uniform Conveyancing Blank Group does. If I'm a Miller Davis and I create software to create these documents, I can't really change until that group says, yep, it's okay to change, right? They can't really do an upgrade or change their software until the group.
The commission
says, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Well, and actually what the Blanks Commission says is, here's our new blank or our revised blank.
Yep.
It's now available.
Okay.
So that was the analogy I was trying to think of, too, and we're not creating product the way that commission creates product, but it's similar in the sense that no one can do anything with those forms until the commission says, this is it now, and then it's kind of public domain.
Because I mean, the issue, the thing I was struggling with is, if I'm putting a new system in, and I validate, again, I'm using Mike as the central validation authority. I have a hard time understanding what the difference would be between a new system and an upgraded system, you know what I mean, or a change to their system. So it may be, like I say, maybe that's a discussion for another
And that's the discussion, Jeff, because we haven't had to deal with that topic yet. What we did originally was we thought all the systems should be validated initially, and now as things change over time, whether it's our standards or whether it's new system upgrades from a vendor's indexing system, when should future validations occur? Are they necessary, and when are they necessary, and then how would you do them, who would you use, and so on and so forth. And those are the questions that I think we've not ever fully discussed. But I think those need to be aired with, you know, vendors like Bill and the others. We need to talk to submitters about that sort of stuff, because you've got technology that, you know, depends on that. And then how and when does a new version of a standard here put out by this body go into effect? And how long do you continue to allow the previous standard to be accepted? And, you know, all of those issues that technology brings with it that, you know, I'm learning to deal with, but I don't know that I'm the one that you'd want to rely on for that.
Well, could I ask a question in that regard? Now, if this is an issue we're going to be dealing with, who does have the technical expertise for this that could be a member of the commission?
Validation. Would it be helpful, maybe to answer
Ben's
question, is to have someone just come in and explain the validation process, I mean, just to, so that we all understood what the issues are? I mean, just to get those all on the table, because I confess I don't know all the ins and outs of validation. Well, you know, is it just simply the technology or the security issues? Are there, I mean, you're worried about, you know, delivery of content in a secure way. I mean, I don't know all of those issues, and certainly from my perspective, it would be useful just to have a refresher course on validation and understand all that's involved. Not that we don't want to do that now.
Can we bring in someone who helped create the validation system to begin with and explain what we went through? Because the problem I see the commission having is, We want to continue to push technology. We don't want to hold up vendors from new products. We don't want to hold up submitters from being able to continue to upgrade or do whatever they need to do. And we don't want to force new technology and equipment on counties all the time either. I mean, if electronic recording works at this level, I want to, you know, we need to know what it would take that doesn't put this guy out of business but lets this guy move ahead in a validation process. And so, you know, are these the bare minimums? And if we add to it, it doesn't slow anything down? I mean, we do need to understand more what that validation system
entails. I think that'd be very helpful, because I mean, my own gut reaction is, you know, we don't have the staff, resources, or capacity to do a lot of work on our own. I mean, you will be dependent on what people are telling us, and so just having a better idea what people can tell us would be helpful. I'm sorry, Bill.
I'm just, you know, again, not to get into the debate or discussion in detail, but I think that from the county recorder's perspective, there is a need on their part, as we approach them, for some kind of a declaration from this commission, so that that this system is valid, or process has been validated, or whatever, so that they feel confident that they can go ahead and move forward with implementing this system without having to become experts themselves or go through some process they've never heard of. So I think it really is important that this commission deal with that topic and sort of put it fairly high on the priority list, I would hope, anyway, because we get the question all the time. And certainly we want to have a way to be able to say yes it is or no it isn't, or here's how you find out if it is or isn't. So I welcome that. Welcome that conversation, and I volunteer to participate in it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we all are starting to realize, it's obviously attracting the most conversation and attention of anything we've addressed so far. So perhaps if we do treat it as a priority, and again, perhaps ask to see if someone could come in and just kind of walk us through the validation process so we really understand the substance and what we're dealing with, what concerns, what functions, what we're actually looking to achieve, and that may help us to understand what our options are. Does that seem reasonable? Mm-hmm. So perhaps, I hate to ask you, Mike, but since Hennepin County is listed as is developing a model, is there anybody who could you could recommend to whom we could invite?
Oh, I've got someone in mind that I think would do an excellent job of giving an overview and explanation of it, and I think if I can talk to someone on the task force with me here at the
commission,
I might be able to convince him to have her attend the next session.
I think I know who you mean. Oh, good.
I think that she could do that, and probably would have Ben help as well, I mean, from the county side. And understand that. So.
Okay. Well, that sounds great, and perhaps we can arrange that for the next meeting, and that will get us immersed in this, and we can move forward on that basis. 10, monitor real property statutes, and we can be both active and reactive in that area, but I think certainly those will appear, and we'll learn about it, any issues. Maintain and continue to revise trusted submitter advisory guide. And that may well, the discussion of validation may well inform our ideas about that. 12, continue education and promotion of electronic recording in Minnesota. So I think it's incumbent on all of us to encourage everyone else to get involved and move forward. 13, maintain and continue to develop presentation tools. And I confess, are those materials that are on the website that would help? I mean, just reference points for anyone doing a presentation? Is that the educational material? Does that ring any bells for anyone?
No, it doesn't. We haven't received all the material yet the Office of Secretary of State yet. So we've received some, but not all the materials yet. So I'm not familiar with anything myself. You haven't seen anything, right, Sally?
Okay. Well, keep our eye open then.
Yeah.
Right. And report back as that. That may be useful too for you all to just report back on the transition in terms of everything
sure.
that you received, any anomalies, any questions you have,
mm-hmm.
anything that's missing.
Maybe. I think the county reporters puts things together, right? I know Gail had one.
Yeah. Okay. We'll keep our eyes open. Recruit additional trusted submitters. It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Incorporate secure messaging. And that seems to be another call for a technology specialist. So I guess just on the basis of what we've reviewed, a number of things to consider, but the immediate priority is for the next meeting, certainly, if we can arrange it, is to go further into validation and the implications of that. Thank you. And all of that, I think, will play into drafting an initial work plan. You might say we just did a next meeting work plan. But as we get a little more familiar with this report, the recommendations, the statute, we could probably start to fill in the details and move from there. But it seems as if right now the immediate priority is to take a little bit closer look at validation and learn from that. Number 8, future meeting schedule. We have been, for a long time, I think, been on a the second or third Thursday of every month. Second Thursday?
Third.
So today, this is the anomaly. Then. Is that reasonable? It's already, most of us have already sort of gotten used to it. Is any other suggestions about?
Is that as frequent as, more or less frequent as the folks want to meet, too? Once a month.
What do you also suggest? More or less?
Well, when we studied commissions before we drafted the combination, some of them only met 4 times a year. Some of them only met when there was an issue to be discussed. So I guess, we could do that any way we would choose to do it, because we didn't see any real set way that every state did. They were a combination. So, you know, if you think monthly is necessary, or whether monthly is necessary to begin with, you know, or whether, you know, once we get the validation thing settled or determined, is it then when one of the committees of the organizations have something, or whether we set up that you have it 4 times a year and they should bring what they have at that time to you, you know, any questions or changes they would like to see, or to continue monthly. I mean, that would be...
Is there any pressing needs for system validation? Is there somebody else that wants to come on board that can't because we need to make a decision?
We need validation, yeah.
Not because of what this group is doing, no. There's no... Let me go back. There's a carryover from the previous task force, and that relates to our trying to validate a couple of organizations that have indexing systems that they want to market to companies. And we're trying to work out with someone or some organization to do that, mm-hmm. that could do what had been done previously with the other ones, to at least take care of that immediate need. And that's the grandfathering item that you may have seen that was referenced in Hennepin County, and that's the role that Hennepin agreed we'll take that on in terms of getting the contract with that party to do it.
Okay.
But that's not something that Hennepin County would be doing on an ongoing basis, but we'll finish up what we started to get into but weren't able to get it completed before the end of June.
Okay.
So that's the carryover on that particular item. That's the item that needs to be dealt with, but that I don't see needs any approval on the part of this commission at this point to move that forward.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just don't want us to not have a meeting if somebody's waiting to get on and get moving and
waiting on us. But we do have people waiting to apply for validation.
Correct.
Right. But that can be handled within Mike's system.
Let's put it this way. If you want to have a resolution that would authorize that to continue to move forward as it had under the previous task force, and maybe that should be reauthorized again, being that it's a new commission now.
Wouldn't the resolution be to accept the validation process that you are developing? Because it's a validation process you're developing, right?
To use the validation process that had been used on the other vendors with the two that want to come in, yes. We weren't going to develop a new process because we wanted it to be consistent with what we had done with the other vendors.
Right. But... Okay. So you're just trying to validate... Two
that I know of.
But shouldn't we be in the process of validating whoever wants to come to us?
Yes.
I think there was a lot of questions about the validation.
The discussion about how we're going to do it for the future, it's going to how are you going to pay for it, where is the money coming from, those are the other issues.
Okay. Well, to turn this back to the meeting schedule, I liked one of the suggestions Janine had, was that maybe at this point, since we're just feeling our way, it perhaps be more comfortable to start with a monthly meeting, and then as we pick some of the lower-hanging fruit, and then move to something that's on a quarterly basis. I think it's nice to have a set schedule, but it doesn't necessarily have to be monthly, but perhaps monthly, and and we feel a little more secure that we've identified all the issues and taken care of everything. So perhaps would it be useful to continue the third Thursday of every month?
Thursday has worked well, I think, in the past. I don't have any particular feeling whether it's the first, second, third, or fourth Thursday of the month, but Thursday certainly has worked. Mm-hmm. And I, too, tend to think, at least to start with, we probably need to do it monthly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
because there's some issues here that I think we're going to need to do to get ready for the legislative session coming up next January, because it is a funding year.
Yes.
That is what,
exactly. If we do have a funding question, we want to be well prepared. Yeah.
Right.
So third Thursday of every month, 1 o'clock?
September 18th, I've got.
September 18th would be where our next meeting then.
Do we need, like Janine had mentioned earlier, maybe we do need approval of this group, maybe we don't. Should we, for lack of better terms, CYA, and just say, let's put a resolution out there that it's okay to continue to do what Mike is doing to validate the systems?
I think.
And then that way we're covered one way or another, right, to continue with the two. Is there more than two that are out there? Does anyone know?
There are two that I know of, and I need to touch base with Bert to see if there's more that have called in, but there's two that I know of. The issue got to be we had $7,000 that we got from the Secretary of State's office about a year ago, and I've managed to find another $5,000 to put into the pool, so I've got basically $12,000 to get it done. Mm-hmm. When the money's gone, the number that we can validate is over.
Okay.
So if you put it real bluntly, that's where it's at.
Yeah. So a motion to spend Mike's money.
If I don't get it spent this year, it's going away and it's going to be used for something else in Hampton County. That's why we want to get it done.
I would make that resolution that we approve Mike to continue validation process he has started. With the funds available.
So Janine,
I just hope. I mean, I'm just. We want to make sure that it doesn't come out that no new vendors can come into the picture. So we want to make sure that, you know, that's not the message we're giving, that we're only going to validate these two, you know, or whatever. That.
Well, we're inheriting those two, and that we're looking as a priority to understand the validation and process
and move forward with other companies.
Yeah. So the motion from Janine then is to approve the process underway in Hennepin and the validation activities with the two systems under.
With the waiting vendor systems, and probably not even include a number if the author would be willing to amend her.
Okay.
Yeah, with the waiting.
Okay. So we have the exact words then? That the motion is approving process underway in Hennepin for validation with the waiting validation process.
Waiting vendors.
Waiting vendors. Waiting. Oh, I'm sorry. Waiting vendors.
Yeah,
okay.
Like wait.
Yeah, sorry. So a motion to approve validation process underway in Hennepin with the waiting vendors already underway. Yeah. Second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's approved. Thank you. And then we've also approved, I think, the meeting schedule of third Thursday at 1 o'clock with September 18th as our next date, and we would aim for here. Correct? All like here?
Ideally. I'll need to check to make sure
they
have the availability, but yeah.
Great. Thank you.
And we'll put it on Pam to put a little presentation with maybe some help from Ben.
On validation.
On validation.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's great. So that's kernel of the next agenda. Number 9 on our agenda is discussion of appointment of technical member. We've already touched upon that. I'm defined that it's someone who can address the issues at hand as we see fit. Any further ideas on that? We wait to learn more about validation to see how we might want to move forward with that?
I have a couple questions on that.
Sure.
And they are only questions.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'd like to see that maybe we open it up for people to apply for that type of technology, for that position.
For the position?
But we don't have any money to offer that person.
Yeah.
So you know, it's kind of like, which end of the horse are we dealing with, you know? You can't ask it to be a donation and still get a pick of technology people. And not that all the ones that have been mentioned aren't good. I'm just trying to make sure that this commission is open, that we don't appear to be closed off only to the people who are in this room, you know. So I'm not real sure where to go with that.
I have a question. See, from my perspective, not knowing who the players are, the two names that keep coming up as people who know what's going on are Pam Trombo and Ben Marchuk. But are there other people? You know, those are the two I keep hearing about.
No.
But are there other people who are qualified to do this?
Are there technology students at college that could?
No.
No.
Probably not. Bill Morey's got people. Fiddler's got people.
Yeah.
West Central Indexing have people.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I've been approached, and I just throw that, I've been approached by several vendors who have said that if your technology position is interesting, we may have someone that would be interested in serving in that capacity. Bill is not one that has approached me about that, but others have. And I said that's something I think for the commission to decide and to deal with. And then I think you're getting into, you know, Janine, is this appointment, I'm not viewing this appointment as somebody that's going to be paid, just like none of the rest of us are paid. I mean, it's just an appointment like anybody else. There are going to be, I think, needs for technical resources to do and take on projects and to do things that I don't think we are going to be able to find gratis to get it done. We've found some of that, but, you know, I think for the future we've got to have the money and the resources to pay for that. And that's where I think the money comes in. But I think in order to have, you know, somebody on this commission as a technical person, I don't think that's going to be a pain. I don't worry about that from a financial standpoint any more than I worry about any of the rest of us. We're doing this out of love and because our bosses told us to, right?
I keep going back to how Eileen presented it, which is that we need technological advice, but if I interpreted what you said correctly, we don't necessarily can't necessarily find one single person who can give us all that advice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe it is a situation where we recognize that we have this need, and that we will address it as the need is defined, rather than just say we're going to find somebody who's, you know, a jack of all trades, master of none, which means we'll just have to go out and find somebody else, right, for a specialized issue. So perhaps at this point we just let it ride.
The thing that I find that would be of value to the commission,
yeah,
is to have someone with a technology background, but who also knows our business, because I think you get more than with that type of a person,
yeah,
than you do with someone who maybe has a strong technology background but doesn't necessarily know the business. And I just draw that analogy to our last commission. We had a technology person who was a whiz-bang on certain technology, but he really didn't know our business, and he wasn't able to contribute as much as he would have had he also known our business. Mm-hmm. So to me, I like having someone who knows the technology and the business, because, again, I always find that's when you get opportunities to do wonderful things, is when you've got those two coming together, and that's critically important. That's what I'd like to see as a member for the commission,
mm-hmm,
in terms of that type of thing, and where you get that person from. It can come from a number of places, but not everybody has the business knowledge. Of course, there aren't that many with the technology knowledge either. But
right. Or the time, or the interest.
Or the time, or the willingness.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you did say you've got people who want that position, right?
That brings up the issue.
Is there a problem with going with someone from a vendor, though? I mean,
that's the issue that I thought we should talk about. I mean, you know,
we've had issues in the past by identifying too closely with a particular vendor or system.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, I mean, do you want to have a vendor staff member who's then a member of the commission? And of course, they'll use that. I assume they would use that for marketing purposes. Maybe that's a condition you put on that say you couldn't. But you know, they have certain knowledge, and that would be of value certainly to the commission. But is that somewhat of a conflict? And is it or isn't it? I don't know.
Well, I don't think in the past it has proven to be a conflict, but there's certainly been perceptions of conflicts. But
yeah.
That way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it could make others nervous and that sort of thing. But if you exclude, you know, the vendor's technical staff, you then also rule out a lot of people that know technology and business.
And our business, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, is where you kind of come down to...
Well, I mean, it almost puts it back towards the counties. I mean, if you sort of set aside, say, if you set aside the generalists, the people who don't know the business, and you set aside the private companies because of the perception of a conflict of interest, what's left is people on the county side.
Well, maybe we don't appoint just one. We take one from each vendor.
Okay.
Maybe we have two of them, so we can
some
have
balance.
You know, they can tell where there is differences in their point of view, or at least when we have consensus, then we know we're on the right track.
So food for thought. Would it be useful to troll the water, see if we have, we can think of any other names and any other people or any other possibilities with those options on the table, somebody from the counties or more than one vendor?
I'm just wondering, if we include one vendor, do we need to open it to all? Again, I don't know what that industry is like, but is it the equivalent of giving somebody an inside track?
Perhaps. Bill, what do you think from your perspective?
I think that you were onto the right track earlier when you were talking about it. I believe I didn't mention it, that there ought to be subject matter experts as the needs arise, because indeed this is an area that has many, many technologies. If we get into the communications of some of those recommendations, that's totally different than the XML expertise that we've used in the past. Totally different. And so I really think that your suggestion is an excellent one, that as the need arises, we just search for a subject matter expert in that area. As far as the generalists that Mike is talking about, perhaps this group, you know, and its meetings and those in attendance at it represent some fairly broad business expertise in general, and if perhaps try it for a while, but if we find that you really do need somebody that's a little bit more permanent and stable, then open the discussion up for adding that, I don't know if that's a non-voting subcommittee or whatever.
That's a non-voting member.
And then I would not recommend that person would be recommend that would be someone else that understands the industry. And certainly, there are also submission experts out there that have pretty strong knowledge of this thing. We may be able to get someone from PREA or from NISMO or from some other group who would be willing to contribute some talent and some time. I think if you have a general technologist, though, there would be again a risk of a perception of a favoritism or whatever the right word is.
Turning to a vendor.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I would suggest not doing it.
Yeah, that was my thought when. But the people that have approached me did it in, you know, all good faith.
Oh, yeah,
I had to help them
out.
What's going on and keep it moving and so forth and anything they can do to help. And I said, well, if you don't become a part of a commission, I said, I'll be certain to call on you for help and assistance as we get to those particular points in time, because I think we are going to need all the technical help we can get.
Oh, absolutely. So perhaps at this point, would it seem reasonable to say that we'll follow the general suggestion that Eileen's made, that we'll look for the appropriate subject matter expert as the particular question frames itself, and that we'll certainly invite everyone to become to attend meetings, especially the vendors, in order for us to be able to call on them as necessary, and it would be in within an open discussion, open meeting, but we wouldn't actually ask anyone to become a non-voting member at this point.
We have an option there, since the statute says shall consist of.
Well, I think the option is we don't really have a good answer. That,
okay.
You know, that,
yep.
I mean,
One way to think about it maybe is if we're going to start pursuing this validation issue, to figure out who could help with that. Because one thing seems to me that if we start a couple meetings about the validation issue and then say now we need a technical expert to introduce somebody, say in November or December, who hasn't heard the preceding discussions, is going to slow us down.
Yeah.
So maybe it's, I know nothing about this, but is there somebody with peculiar expertise in the validation process, if assuming that's the issue we're now going to be addressing?
And then what maybe I would like to see is that we put out a request for technical personnel, I'm trying to think of the right words, that has both the time. I mean, I'd hate to say, let's use Pam or let's use Ben if they're not available, they don't have the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that they are both qualified.
Are they? See,
but is anyone, are there others out there that are qualified that someone may say, well, I can contribute that to that to the commission? If Mike says they're not supposed to be, you know, that if they're a non-paid position, then we have to look at whether or not their employers want to donate that. You know, I mean...
It sounds as if, though, really, I mean, we're appealing to the interested parties.
Right.
Right, so it would be counties,
and that we would
trusted
like to
mayors,
have,
yeah.
That we'd like to have those names in 30 days or something like that. So we have them on board to at least listen. If they're interested in their... employers want them to take a role, I'm sure the next meeting they would have them here to hear the information that they get, and then if by the next meeting we've made our decision, we've maybe not lost any time, you know. And maybe we'll only get one person.
What's the grapevine like if we walk out of here with the recommendation that everybody sort of report back to their constituency, or if you're at the county level to report to tell your vendor that validation is going to be a critical issue in the next couple of months. If you want to get involved, if you can't get involved, you have to show up at the next meeting. Would that be work? I mean, I'm slightly hesitant, since just to post something on the website, not really clear as who actually reads it or reviews it. So it does seem as if, just off the top of my head, it seems like word of mouth is probably the most effective means we have right now of telling everybody to think about this. Does that sound right to you?
Mm-hmm. How else we would do it?
Yeah.
Get it out there.
Yeah. So simply pass
on. And I can
on.
Go back, like in our county, and you know we've got certain technical people, and there's a few of them that have enough business knowledge that you know would be fine.
Yeah.
You know whether somebody like Ben is available and interested, you know he would be fine. There are a couple of others in our county that you know aren't as knowledgeable as Ben, but still have the technical background, and you know they would be fine. But again, I don't know that they're interested.
Yeah.
There certainly are some people. Department of Revenue with Jason Parker. He'd be another one who you know could probably fill that role in that sense. And again, he comes from a state agency, the Department of Revenue. Now, whether Revenue wants to make him available and whether he's got an interest, I have no idea.
No, we just have to put it out there.
But yeah, I mean, people like that. Pam is, of course, another one in that sense. And now, do submitters get concerned on that end? You know,
right. I mean,
Jeff's not he doesn't sell indexing packages and that sort of thing. So it's not from a government standpoint. I don't view it as a conflict, but you know, there's probably others that will view it differently.
Sure.
But she's someone again with that kind of technology expertise that you know we need.
Well,
or maybe Ben or Pam know of someone with that account,
oh, yeah.
that expertise.
Mm-hmm.
that they might recommend.
How about this as a sort of summary of it? We'll just simply report back and spread the word that we're going to be looking at validation seriously in the next meeting and meetings to come. We tell everybody we're interested in it. We take advantage of any opportunity to spread that word as well. And the next item on the agenda may be an opportunity as well. Then at the next meeting, we have Pam just brief us on validation and all its intricacies, what's involved. And then depending on who's present, who's willing to be involved and get engaged in this, we set up some sort of a temporary committee, subcommittee to look at it more closely to involve everyone in all the constituencies, give them a chance to look at it a little more closely, report back to us.
Do we agree now that we do not want to take applications from vendors, or are we open to that? And again,
I think we're not looking at someone as the member of the committee at this point. We're just looking for people who may be able to help us
with
the issue, and it may take the form of a subcommittee. Maybe it'll take the form of a voting member, but I think we'll just have a better idea when everybody's there. Mm-hmm. Does that sound reasonable? We take it from a hypothetical to just put some actual possibilities if we have the people here, and we get a report, we have a better idea what's involved. Mm-hmm. Which leads us to 10, and I thought this is a letter that Diane and Sally have prepared to send out basically to everyone. We have a...
It's in a draft form.
It's a draft form. But basically, just an alert to anybody who's been involved in previous meetings. And do we have a mailing list? Is that from Secretary of State?
That's from the Secretary of State. I'd be happy to share that with folks, but I don't know I don't remember off the top of my head who is
all
on the mailing list. Yeah.
But we do have a mailing list, and we mm-hmm. would send out suggest sending out a letter basically alerting people to the fact that there is a commission. What's it involved in, and what I was going to suggest is maybe we just add a little paragraph that says, and validation is high on the list of our interests, and we're addressing it on the meeting on September 18th, something like that, looking for anybody who's interested to get involved. But if we can take a minute to take a look at this, we can talk about that.
This is the August 4th Dear Stakeholder
one? Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Feel free to wordcraft. I just did back-to-back to quick. And the letterhead would come off on the second page. Just didn't have time to do it all.
We might want to announce the election of the vice chair and vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps just add a mm-hmm. paragraph to that.
To give contact information for the commission members.
Is that on our website?
Mm-hmm. Is it on the website?
Yeah. It's what is it? The telephone number and the email, or mm-hmm. telephone number and email. And we could do an insert of contact information too, but I would kind of want to leave that up to the members, for you guys to decide. So. Thank you.
Any suggestions?
I think the letter is fine. I think probably the information about election, and I was just jotting down a couple of thoughts here, that the commission will be holding its next meeting
on that date.
And we'll be discussing the validation of county recorder indexing systems for new vendor systems in Minnesota.
Welcome your participation.
Anyone with an interest in validation, technology validation projects, is welcome to attend.
The other thing I'm wondering is if the stakeholders would want to know who we are. You know, it tells who appointed us, but not who we are. And that may be information that people would want.
Like the organizations you work for, not the appointing organization?
Right. Well, probably they need both things.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think virtually all of that's here on the what's up to you, Jeff?
It's in the report.
Yeah, it's in that, so we could take it from the appendix
yeah.
in the report.
And it's also listed on the website, too.
Okay.
But we can include that information letter, too.
Sure.
Some people don't like to, when you're reading a piece of paper, you don't want to mm-hmm. switch back and forth to the website.
Oh, right,
so.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's all available except for, except for you, or you're not listed on this.
Yeah, and I'm unlisted. I'm sorry.
Well, Ryan might be on it.
Oh, Ryan, that's right. I'm sorry. I probably forgot. Yes. Any other suggestions? That's cool. So is that straightforward then?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Stakeholders, is that fine, or should I say interested parties? I know it's kind of minutia, but I was just curious.
Your stakeholders and interested parties.
Okay. Regards. Take care. Sincerely. Hugs and kisses.
Yes.
Well,
I don't know. It's a state
yeah.
commission. that would be great. Thank you very much.
Sure. No problem. What I'll do is draft it up and then send it around to the chairs and, well, all the members.
Sure.
For before sending it out. Plus, I'll also send you the information I have for the stakeholders, the email list I have already. So you can add, let me know if you'd like to add other folks to it as well.
Okay. That sounds great. Thank you.
Sure.
Number 11, other business items.
I do have one quick other business item.
So
there was a...
Go ahead.
It's a minor thing, but Bob received an email about a person who wanted to attend the meeting.
Via telephone,
yeah. So.
And previously, that was not encouraged. Probably, I think, just purely for technical limitations. But we said we told him we would raise the question.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that when I was in communication, hadn't realized that we were now taping the material, so we will be posting the audio, along with not just minutes, but
mm-hmm.
the audio tape of this, audio
recording
of this, on the website. So anybody who goes to the website will hear far more than he or she would by calling in, if that's, you know, my experience is any measure. But open up to suggestions as something we should try to make available.
Can I just add one more
sure,
thing
absolutely.
Too? Unfortunately, the Legislative Coordinating Commission is not renting space within this building, so we're being able to use this building at the willingness of the Minnesota State Retirement System, and so they're actually able to give us a space. Free for use, they usually charge and stuff like that. So there's an added complication that this is off-site. We thought this would be a better meeting space for everybody to come to than being at the state office building where we reside. State office building, usually there's some issues with parking for individuals, and you know, especially if you're in sessions and also sometimes the meeting rooms are difficult to get a hold of too. So it's just that little complication adds to it then as well. So
What does it cost to make that available? I mean, that may be one thing. It's probably expensive, right?
Well, it probably would be where they... I was trying to connect with the person who... that I could reserve this room from and does this type of arrangements, but I believe we were unable to connect, unfortunately. But I believe it would be where the individual would have to pay for it, like a call, like a phone call, making a phone call. This room probably has a phone line and has a phone number.
And I think that individual said they would be willing to pay.
Yes, correct.
For that.
Correct.
Although, yeah, the individual said that he was sure that vendors would be willing to support the whole cost of it, which then raised the question of, you know, well, if we took them up on it, would we, how would we raise the money and how do we get the money? I mean, there are some other issues involved.
And I should say, I mean, too, that's like with the one individual calling in. It was multiple individuals that would have to do a conference call, which does incur
cost. That's what I thought.
Conference calls are not cheap by any means. We have been utilizing those quite a bit with our association, mm-hmm. just from a mileage standpoint. But typically, you know, $100 or more per person for an hour conference call. And there isn't a lot. There's only two options out there for utilization. Maybe they've got them down.
Mm-hmm.
We did want information on that. Going through Ewald, Bill Mond, their organization set that up for us. So you'd be able to get cost information on that if we did want to further inform them.
Well, one other thing we might want to consider then is I think in this document, the bylaws, it allows for members to attend by phone if they can't be at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so we might have to, if we're going to keep that in place by this, we might have to have that facility anyways.
Mm-hmm. So if that person would choose to purchase the conference call, then about any, we do them all the time, but the number of people who call in doesn't really matter, does it?
I think if it was that high, we certainly wouldn't be doing it through E-County, certainly wouldn't be doing it. And we've been doing it for quite a few years, and there's probably at times 6-7 people that call in, and we've never incurred a very large fee for those conference calls at all.
So is that something E-Counties could set up for us, and then the person who offered to pay for it, E-Counties? I mean, I think it would be nice if we offered that due to distance. I mean, I think the commission itself should try to get here, but I also know that today I ran into road construction and a lot more traffic than I was used to. And so, I mean, I think the commission itself should try to be here in person.
Right.
But there are a lot of people out there that 2 days on the road or staying overnight ends up being quite costly.
Well, how about this then? We investigate the cost just to get an idea of what would be involved.
I'll check with our association too, because we also have conference calls.
Sure. So take advantage of your kindness.
Yeah, let's just find out what it would take.
Yeah, and not just that, but also find out what it takes to get it here.
Yeah. See what it would take here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see if there's
if it is possible.
If it is even
what
possible.
Type of equipment they have.
Yeah.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is possible because you guys have done it before. You know,
it's just a matter of what.
Exactly.
I think essentially probably what would happen is you get a 1-800 number for here to
mm-hmm.
call into the conference number,
mm-hmm.
and then anyone that you give another number out to is actually a long distance call number,
mm-hmm.
and so they're paying their own dime to listen in, but then to have it here, whoever has that conference call is picking up the 1-800 call per minute. So you're kind of picking it up on one and having that facility, but then all members wanting to call in is a long distance.
We have some help here. we'll have some investigations and then report back. Any other? And you had one. I'm sorry.
I did. In January, we're going to have the MAKO conference, and we wanted to do it. I thought it would be a great time to hang out with members of the panel and present our conference. So just put that out there.
When in January?
I knew it yesterday, but I believe it's the... just had it. 13th, 14th, and 16th.
Thank you. 13th through the 16th. Yeah. I think that would certainly be... We would right. welcome the opportunity.
What was it for?
It's for MAKO, the Association of County Officers. We're going to do an e-workflow. So we get everyone in, auditor, treasurers, and recorders. And then as part of the e-workflow, we'd like the area commission to be there, if that's possible.
Where is it?
It's going to be at the American Highway.
No.
No, the one last year. Not the share.
In town? This town?
No, they changed it from...
It's where it had been years ago.
It's the metro area.
But it's here?
Yeah.
Doubletree.
Doubletree back by...
Well, now they changed the name,
didn't they? No, it's not Doubletree either.
I'll get more. Just as long as we know it's here, that we many of us don't have to travel.
It's the old Radisson South. The old Radisson South, now the Sheridan.
I think in principle we can assure you that we have all or some of us there.
Well, 394 and 100?
That was
the old Sheridan Park Place that's now called Doubletree.
And for reference, it's where the old Cooper Theater is.
For those historians, yeah, like,
that's right.
This is a sign of someone who's been around.
I don't remember that.
Your geography is determined by what used to be there. Okay. Any other business items, Bill?
Well, I believe we have e-counties coming up in September, and do we want to have something, maybe just the status or the letter or whatever, something that we said? I think e-counties. Somehow let them know what's going on.
The
commission's active and
absolutely. Perhaps we could get you a copy of the letter. You could put in the program packet, and if you want someone to show up, we could probably arrange that too. So just let us know. So definitely make sure you get a copy of the letter, at the very least. Any other business items? And it looks as if we're in a position to entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.